This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning. You had the Manny Machado meeting with the Yankees yesterday. The Knicks got killed last night, which was always a good thing, as you see Zion Williamson's going to be in New York and playing at the Garden. So anytime the Knicks can take an L like that, makes you dream of what the draft can be. We inch closer to what is going to be a humongous day in the NFL when it comes to playoff seating in both conferences. So we got a big one today. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. Yeah, and Zion's at the Garden tonight. They're playing Texas Tech, Duke versus Texas Tech. So if you want to see what we all would like to think is going to be, and pray to God that he's the next Knick player, he is in New York for one and one time only. So unless, of course, I don't know, there's some sort of, NCAA potential, a game in one of these buildings around here. We have about 17 of them, so you never know, right? By the way, the Atlanta Hawks did win a game.
Yeah, I know.
Phoenix has now won four in a row,
which is really good. But both Atlanta and Chicago, we needed the Nets to lay down last night in a back-to-back.
Well, the Nets are not going to lay down.
And they did not.
No, yeah. And speaking of the Nets, you know, I'm watch a little bit of them and everything else. And, you know, obviously saw the big dunk on LeBron from Jared Allen and all that stuff. Here's the thing. You know, I was listening to Joe and Evan, I don't know, it was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And Evan was like, get rid of Atkinson. You know, we got to get rid of this coach. Get rid of this. I mean, he was just going off. But they're obviously in the midst of a losing streak, and I guess that's kind of the natural thing to do.
Yeah, it was a little rough patch. You know,
he's
a frustrated fan and a rough patch.
I guess Evan doesn't have the backbone to stand up for that.
No, but we knew that already.
Right. Well, obviously, now he's singing a completely different tune. Now, all of a sudden, he's all over the coach. I mean, it's ridiculous. But I guess it's sports talk. I guess it's what we do. We kind of mimic the emotions of the fans, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So it was crazy. I also was listening to, I didn't know that we call him this, your boy JJ.
Okay.
And Chris Moore. I did not know that we actually refer to Chris Moore as Simo Dog.
Simo.
Simo Dog. Did you know that, Al?
Simo Dog?
Or something.
Seems very complicated.
Like JJ calls him Simo. I didn't realize how hip they were.
Oh wow!
You know?
Jeez.
So JJ and Simo were doing a good job.
Simo,
very entertaining.
Yeah, I don't like that because it's, you know what that is, that's ripping off CeeLo. You know, CeeLo is our guy. Simo.
I always knew him as Chris, and when he sat in here last year, I didn't know that he was Simo. or I don't know if JJ made that up. I'm not sure.
No, I had heard that before actually, because when he was working on the network, I heard a little Simo. Back and forth
How old is Chris Moore?
About 60.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a Simo to me. It seems like a Chris to me. You
He's
know?
Just a girl Christopher.
And the nice thing about him is like he actually brings JJ back to like center spot. You know, like JJ goes off on some tangent and Simo.
Simo, you're going Simo now.
Calms him down and everything.
Well, let me get this right. So yesterday, towards the end of the year, you took one of the days off that you have a lot. You're leaving a lot on the table this year, you were telling me.
I'm trying to work through it.
Right. No, it's good. It's great. I love that.
Okay, good.
But you took one of the
work ethic.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And then, you know, I am now mimicking that from you. I mean, it's impressive. So so you take this day off yesterday and you listen to the radio station
I did.
The whole
day. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I listened to you and Jerry a little bit. You bored me, so I turned
Oh, really?
Off. Yeah, no, you guys were making fun of me, and I just said, you know what, I'm not going to call in. I'm not going to be like Phil Simms and be overly...
Did we make fun of you yesterday?
Yeah, something about the Titanic. Boom would have been going down with the Titanic. Get on the boats, and you guys
were going to That's not making fun of you. That was
swim you to shore or something like that.
Isn't that a compliment?
I said,
you would put us...
I don't know.
You would put us on your back and bring us to shore.
I kind of felt like the Norps were taking a shot at me. You know, that's how I felt. I'm like, oh, these guys, these sons of...
No, that's you being too sensitive, man. The point of that was that we would be useless on our own trying to save our own lives, and here you would be
trying to save your lives,
and you would, and you'd be successful in that.
So I took it the wrong way then.
Yes, you did, absolutely.
All
yeah,
right. I didn't want to get all mad and everything, but you know, yeah. But I heard a couple shots yesterday thrown my way.
Oh, well, a couple?
Yeah, it was a few.
What was the other one?
Listen, you guys were yapping about some movies or whatever the hell you were talking about.
Well, there was two things I learned about Jerry yesterday I knew nothing about. It's crazy. So the first was that Titanic is his favorite movie, and every time that it's on, he has to watch it. Like, he can't ignore Titanic if he comes across it on the television, which to me is Jerry Recco and Titanic just doesn't match up, right?
Doesn't seem to match up, no.
Doesn't seem to match up. Now, so that one was a big revelation.
I heard
it was
where
strange
Al would grab the baby and get off the boat.
Right, yes.
Like that, yeah.
So, and then the other one we heard is Jerry Recco listens to multiple times a week motivational speeches. So he's driving in his car and he has someone talking to him, you know, go out there, attack the day, you're the man.
No wonder why he's so mad.
He listens to motivational speeches and is passionate about this, so much so that he was showing me videos of guys in the break that he listens to. Some guy talking about bamboo and how you water
the
bamboo.
Anybody in particular, like, you know, famous that he listens to?
No, it was just, there was...
He sent me one time Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, right. That was one, though.
Was that a movie role, or
no,
was
it
something
like
legit?
Will Smith in his kitchen pumping people up that he puts out on his social media, and Jerry says he does this quite frequently.
Oh,
yeah, Jerry's
Will Smith.
Yeah,
right,
and Jerry's into that. He showed me some pastor or something talking about bamboo yesterday. Like, hey, you know, bamboo grows very slowly.
See, all it takes is 4 hours to sit next to somebody, and next thing you know all about them, right?
But, Jerry, you sat next to Jerry for a long stretch last fall.
Yeah.
We have Jerry in here every hour for 4 hours. I knew you drive in with Jerry every morning. Did you know those two things, Al, about him?
No, only recently he started telling me about these Will Smith motivational videos.
Oh, I know what it is. I think he's going through his midlife crisis. That's what you guys are talking about. Maybe that's what's happening with him. And I would say that you're not there yet. You probably got to be in your mid to late 40s.
Yeah, I would agree. Sure.
And then you can go out and buy yourself a Corvette or something and feel like Mr. Bitchin'. You know, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Drive around Bellport in your Corvette and you'd be all good.
Yeah, no, I've got a full life crisis.
It's
not midlife, it's full life.
Right, you actually, yeah, exactly. So
it's nothing to look forward
to. Especially around the Christmas holidays and all that other stuff.
Right.
All right, so by the way, so what do you think? You think the Yankees are going to go down this road with Machado?
Yeah, I think they want to, right? I think that the terms, if they're anywhere close with these three teams, the Yankees are going to make sure that they get them. But if it starts going nutso with either the White Sox or the Phillies, I think they'll have some restraint. I do believe that there will be some restraint in this.
Yeah, I don't believe that they will give him 10 years. There's no way that Brian Cashman's going to do that. I think that, you know, they're locked in with Stanton for a long time, and they've had these contracts before, bite them in the ass. You know, A-Rod was at the time the greatest baseball player anybody had ever seen when they took him on, and then he walked, you know, he basically, you know, opted out, and then they gave him a new contract on top of that. You know, that was when Hank was drinking the Heinekens and all that other stuff. So I would say that, yeah, I think restraint is probably the word. Look, I don't have any problem with the Yankees spending the money the way that they want to spend it. I don't really care. But when we talk about it, and when I talk about it, I also talk about, locker room kind of cohesiveness, getting along with each other, kind of, you know, having leaders in that locker room that show you how the way it can be done. And I don't want Gary Sanchez, Gleyber Torres, and Andujar, Miggy Andujar, being adversely affected by anybody in that locker room from a personnel standpoint. That's why I think, you know, the way that Stanton carries himself, the way that Judge carries himself, the way that Didi Gregorius carries himself.
I mean, those guys will be there.
Brett
Gardner
carries himself.
And they're still there.
They have a very harmonious locker room. Their locker room is good, man. They like each other. They play hard. Every now and again, Gary Sanchez is going to have a bad moment. I just don't want that being ever amplified by somebody coming in. And I'm not even talking about Manny Machado dogging it or loafing it down first base. Yeah, I know he's good and all that stuff. But I just don't want the team to be upset that Didi Gregorius's, you know, replacement is being signed to his enormous contract when he has not done anything for the Yankees. So there's a little bit of that that I would have some trepidation about signing Manny Machado.
Yeah, I think there would be more excitement than anything else. I think these guys have an idea of what the business is and how these things work, and it's unfortunate for Didi, and it doesn't mean that he hasn't been a great teammate, but the Yankees have to do whatever the Yankees can to beat the Red Sox, and they got embarrassed by them in multiple ways last year, and they need to go out and make this team better. Yes, they brought Jay Happ back. Yes, they made the trade for Paxton, but are those two things going to be the things that put the Yankees over the top over the Boston Red Sox? No, but adding a player like Manny Machado and what he can do with the plate and in the field, yeah, that could do it. It really could.
Can he pitch in the seventh inning as well? Can he be a setup guy? I mean, I know that.
But what he does, he's one of the best there is. It's indisputable.
You know, the Yankees had two really top-end relievers that are no longer in that in the mix in the bullpen right now. And we tend to forget that. We hopefully are not forgetting just how important the bullpen is in this day and age in Major League Baseball.
So. Oh, there's no way Brian Cashman is forgetting that. He knows that. I mean, it's just because Manny Machado is on his free agent tour and all the spotlight and focus and energy is on him. That doesn't mean that Brian Cashman isn't thinking about the entire roster. I mean, I think at this point you got to trust him. Right? I mean, don't you trust him for the most part on what he's doing?
But my feeling is that the White Sox sound like they want to do something stupid here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be Harper or Machado or both of them.
Yeah.
Hell, it might even be both of them. Who knows? They may just do something completely bizarre. And that's the thing that I think if you're Brian Cashman, that you don't want to get yourself involved in. And let's face it, the Phillies are going to do something crazy.
Well, that's what I think happens. The more and more I think about it, I do think the Yankees and Machado have a thing for one another, and that's been reported over the last couple of days, and it seems obvious, but it just seems to me like the White Sox and Phillies are going to get each one of these guys because they're going to go that extra mile. And then when you get yourself worked up in these moments, it really is hard to see the future 8-9 years down the road. You think about stuff that you said if you're the Philadelphia Phillies about spending stupid money. You see around the division, the Braves make the playoffs. You got Brody Van Wagenen saying the Mets are the best team in the division.
I mean, all these
things that are going on. And you're in your town in Philadelphia where everybody else is doing well, right? The Sixers are a big story all the time. The Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Villanova. So you got to do something there. The pressure's on you there, right? I think the Phillies will end up going that extra mile. It's just a matter of, you know, will the Yankees matter enough to Manny Machado to maybe take a lesser deal or fewer years?
For me, if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, here's the parameters of a deal that I would do with him. And then I find out, you know, the Phillies are going to go an extra 2 years or an extra $2 million per year, whatever. It doesn't sting as much because it is the Phillies. You know, if it were the Red Sox or if it were the Houston Astros or somebody like that, the Yankees would be fighting for the ALCS, I think I would be more apt and inclined to sign him to keep him away from those two teams. But if it is the White Sox and it is, you know, the Phillies in this case in the National League, I don't think the sting is all that hurtful to my team and my team's chances to win the ALCS. You know, the other thing, too, is it's going to be interesting because I think Bryce Harper now has the Dodgers and the Cubs, you know, involved. And that sounds to me like it's going to be one of those two teams. But I could also see where the Yankees could actually go after Bryce Harper and say, you know what? We got outfield room. We have depth. We have a lot of outfielders. And I know Brian Cashman keeps leaving those crumbs that you kind of pay attention to. And the Bryce Harper crumbs seem to be going elsewhere, you know, because he doesn't really talk about it. But, man, left-handed bat and an outfielder in that outfield?
It makes sense. That's why a lot of people were thinking about Harper for the Yankees for a long time, years ago.
What do you do with Hicks? You still got to move Ellsbury. There's still a lot of other things that have to go on here before you could create the right room for him, unless you're going to look at, getting rid of Ellsbury and eating part of that contract too. You got to remember that. Now, it's their money. Like I said, I don't care, and they have resources to absorb some of this stuff. and they'll figure it out. But I don't see a 10-year contract with Manny Machado and the Yankees.
No, I think that they're going to be a little more conservative with that. But it's just, it's amazing to me, and I understand all the reasons why we're having a conversation about the Yankees operating in this manner. But, you know, if you would have told me 10 years ago that what happened in this season happened, and you had the Red Sox not only win the division and celebrate at Yankee Stadium, but beat you in the ALDS, blow you out in your building like that, and then go win the World Series, and you had these two guys available to you in that offseason, and that the Yankees were going to sit back and say, nah, you know what, we're not going to be the top bidder here.
You know what's amazing?
It's crazy. I mean, really, if those two guys go elsewhere, and this is the Yankees offseason, bringing back Happ and trading for Paxton.
That's a big offseason, man.
It's not a big offseason.
But, you know, you have to remember, this was
you trade away your top pitching prospect to get Paxton, too.
This is a 100-win team that lost significant amount of time from Aaron Judge. Now, you know that there's going to be injuries that are going to happen to all of these teams. The question is, how significant are those injuries going to be? If Aaron Judge weren't hurt last year, I don't know what the numbers would have been. I don't know how many more games they would have won. But when I think of the Yankees, I'm like, whatever you do, you keep Andujar and you keep Torres and everything else, you could do whatever you want. But you got to keep those two young kids. You just have to.
Yeah.
I mean, Andujar was unbelievable last year. Now, I know he sat him down in the playoffs and everything for the game against the Red Sox. But I'm like, you know what? That kid was great. When he is in that batter's box, he's like locked and loaded.
Yeah, and like, there is a way, too, because Didi Gregorius, by the way, is going to miss a significant portion of next year.
He's a free agent after next year.
Right. So in that, this is his last year under contract for the Yankees. Now, I happen to think that Didi Gregorius is a really, really important part of that clubhouse, and he's one of these people that is undervalued when it comes to leadership and those things.
He'll be really undervalued when they sign Machado, if they sign Machado.
But there is a path to Machado and Andujar, if that's the way you want to go. You know, I mean, Didi's the one left on the outside looking in.
And he's a popular player. So that's what I talk about, you know, and when he hurt his elbow against the Red Sox in the playoffs, you're like, oh, God, man. You know, now all of a sudden the Machado thing is a real deal because I could see them saying, hey, you know, this is going to be our shortstop of the future. We're going to lose Didi anyway. We don't know how good he is going to be coming back from this injury. I mean, I don't know. There's a million things. Although I would tell you that Torres came back from the injury just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right? I know. It's just that it's the timing of this is sort of remarkable, right? I mean, that's sort of what it comes down to.
I just think the Phillies are going to go to some crazy number and crazy length of contract that the Yankees are not going to match. Kind of like the Corbin thing, although Corbin is not, I know, the level of Machado, but if Corbin would have taken 5 years, he'd be a Yankee.
Yeah, right. I know. Absolutely. And that's the thing that, now this has happened before. You know, it happened with Kirk Cousins where the Jets were offering more money and he opted for the situation in Minnesota. You might get that with Manny Machado. Manny Machado, both, what's interesting about these two guys is both of them have wanted to be Yankees at some point. You know, Machado and Harper. And here the Yankees are trying to use that leverage a little bit with these guys to make sure they don't have to overpay to get them in the Bronx.
And so the way I look at it now, the Yankees either are going to move Torres to shortstop and fill second base with somebody, whether it be Neil Walker, whether it be Daniel Murphy or whatever, unless they sign Machado, right?
Yeah.
Right, so if they don't sign Machado, which, I still think the Phillies are going to do something stupid, or the White Sox, one of those two teams is going to try to do something.
Or both, yeah.
Right, and then the question is, does Machado really want to play here? Does he want to leave money on the table? Very few players leave money on the table.
Yeah, I know. Especially after last offseason where there was talk of collusion and guys had to start their own camp down at the IMG Academy to stay in shape because nobody was getting signed. I think it's extra important to the players and the Players Association to make sure that these guys don't leave any money on the table after what they believed was a big screw job the previous offseason.
And honestly, like if the Phillies go out and sign him to a huge guy, I can't wait to see him and Gabe Kapler together.
Oh, God. I mean, that is a match made in hell between those two.
And the thing about it is, if he accepts those big contracts from either one of those two teams, I don't believe he comes in and conforms to whatever culture those teams think that they have. I think if he comes to the Yankees, he may conform a little bit more and be a little bit more of a well-rounded baseball player and teammate in the locker room simply because you got, you know, Stanton and Judge in there, and you got CC Sabathia in there.
Right.
And, you know, so that the effect that those guys could have on him would be a lot better than what maybe the Phillies and White Sox have to offer. Could you imagine coaching him?
No, well, if you're Gabe Kapler and his take on things and Manny Machado and his take on things, I mean, that's oil and water right there.
That's what I'm saying. 10 years, $300 million, you think anybody is going to talk to that player in one of those other organizations?
It's going to be very difficult. Especially, you think of both those places, I mean, the personalities in the clubhouses, as you mentioned, especially in Chicago with the White Sox, I mean, everybody is a younger player. It's a full rebuild. He goes in there, and he basically rules the roost.
I'm just thinking about, like, the fan base down there in Philadelphia and the media could get after him. That could be a very unkind thing over the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I think here you could come here. He could go into like a two-week, three-week prolonged slump. Yeah, they'll write about it like they did for Stanton and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, the Yankees could still win. Right. And he could be buried like Stanton was last year.
Yeah, that could be appealing too to these players. It's like, all right, the spotlight's not always going to be on me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.